Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 27, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For April 18th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm Jack. Jack in the New York groove. That is Ace Frehley, courtesy of Snarky Desaad on Twitter. Nailed it. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yeah, well, you know Miles Gray is my favorite color. I felt so symbolic yesterday, smoking coats with weed. Just want to be a big star.
Thank you to Catfish Hunter 78 for that one. All 90s bullshit song, aka is welcome.
So much feeling in your voice.
I mean, it's, you know, like, honestly, that song I fucking really like.
Oh, it's a good song.
And
for
no,
sure.
Like in an unhealthy way. Well, anyway, like, let's not make this about me. Why am I on trial? Hi, we have guests.
I can't believe that had a real purpose.
Oh yeah, that's the AKA.
Oh yeah,
section.
Because I'm Miles Gray. Anyway, yes, that's how we do this.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Marlena Rodriguez.
Hello.
Hi. What song will you be singing?
Okay, I'll start at the. Do we have to pay for that?
No. Hey,
don't worry. Just those two.
Alter the lyrics slightly so it's a parody.
Okay.
I'm not a fair use expert, but yes. I like how you go, oh, that had a purpose. Because prior to recording, I was just screaming, scream singing the entire song. And I think you probably thought, where the fuck am I? What the fuck is wrong with this dude who won't stop talking about Adam Duritz? Prolific celebrity dater, as we looked at his Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't forget.
It's just the magnitude of settling that we are faced with.
Yeah, right.
White guy with dreads.
Yeah.
Ooh. Marlena, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, revealing about who I
am.
Yes,
we are going to judge you.
I might have done this wrong.
Nope.
But I have a habit of getting really high in convincing myself I definitely have herpes.
Wow. I do the same thing, but cancer.
Okay, yeah. Great. Way cooler one.
I used to do that when I was in my teenage years.
No reason. There's no reason at all. But every single time, I am just so sure. And so that's what I'm Googling all the time. Just like,
do I have herpes?
Like, what? Which one is the herpes?
Which simplex?
Right.
Why?
Right. Which herpes do I have?
How long?
How long? Do I have the cold that I think people... I remember that was a thing when I was a teenager. I read, it's like, sometimes people get a cold before outbreak or something. And that had me all fucked up because I had a cold. And I was like, oh, I have herpes. Or whatever. I mean, look, we're not shaming people out here.
My big mistake was that I... You know how, like, really hot people just have herpes?
Mm.
You know that?
I mean...
Did you know that?
For sure. Yeah.
It's like...
Like
it's
every
like
reality show person...
Well,
it's very common. So I think, yeah, just by sheer volume, of course.
Yeah. In college, it was like the hottest guy I'd ever seen paid attention to me. And the first night that we ever like hooked up, it was very sweet. It was wonderful. And then we were just like hanging out at his apartment. And he was like, I have to tell you something. And I was like, oh, what? And he was like, I have herpes. And I was like, no, you don't.
After the fact.
You didn't believe it?
And then that happened 3 more times.
Mm.
And then I had to believe it. But
he told you 3
didn't
more
work
times?
Out. It didn't. It was just a back and forth in that moment of like, yes, I do. And like, no, you don't. And it was real bad.
Yeah, you were have to getting over the perception that, yeah.
And yeah, and I never, you know, I never got to suck his dick.
Oh.
I never got to raw dog with him.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, now his dad is president, so,
yeah.
You know.
It's rough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get abs. And
Marlena, sucked. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated... okay, now I did, in understanding correctly, and underrated about myself.
Whatever you want.
Oh,
there's
my God. Underrated. Is anything?
Yeah,
it's open-ended.
Oh, no.
But I like this. No,
I
go
did.
On.
Wrong.
No. This is why we like, this is the form. It's meant to be experimented
with. I still think that everybody should be like, my sense of humor is underrated.
Okay.
My
well,
shoulders.
That's where we're going.
She's
with
viciously
it.
Scratching something out of her nose. Can't do that.
Underrated
about you,
about me, as everything is I was in the first high school production of Cats.
Wow.
Wait, like the first licensed product? Like, what do you mean?
Correct. Thank you.
Oh.
And I was also in the most underrated role, which was the Cats Chorus. Mm. Now, as you all obviously understand, the Cats Chorus is the group of understudies who not only learn the entire show.
Okay.
But never were actually on stage. And just stood backstage in front of a mic and sang all the words.
In cat makeup and costume or?
No, we didn't even get that far.
Just support voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were not.
I thought that was extremely underrated on behalf of society.
And would you were never Rum Tum Tugger?
Rum Tum Tugger is a curious cat, you know?
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Would you say that that play in general is underrated?
A musical, sir.
I would say a musical. I would say it's deeply underrated. T.S. Eliot had a lot of backstories behind those cats.
I know, isn't that interesting?
A lot of them. Do yourself a favor, get crazy high and just start reading that Wikipedia.
Okay, well, yeah. I have the first part done, so let me just start reading.
Yeah, it's based on weird little stories T.S. Eliot wrote about like neighborhood strays.
Yeah, and like really huge backstories he built.
Holy
like
shit,
one was like a paid whore, and and then got old, and now like no one likes
my
her.
Mom does the exact same thing with animals when she adopts them.
Gives them backstories.
Yeah, like the first cat she adopted was this cat, or like her that had given birth to a litter of cats, and all the kittens were adopted, and like her friend whose house the cat had given birth, she's like, I got homes for everyone except for the mother. And my mom goes, I will take her.
Oh.
Okay. And then when suddenly I go over there, I'm like, what the fuck is this cat? She goes, she was a single mother on the streets with
That's
nowhere
amazing.
To go. And I was like, okay. And then I just asked around. I was like, okay, so this is what happened. She loves to do that. Then now she has put that fixation on possums. My mom is a possum. Yo, my mom.
God, the worst animal.
Well, hold on now, because this is what happened. Let me bust a myth here. My mom capes for possums. She's a fucking card-carrying member of like the Possum Society or some shit. But they get a bad rap because they don't have herpes.
Whoa. Uh-oh.
Sorry, I got put in my brain. They don't have rabies. And that's why you can kiss them. But yeah, she's like, you know, like it's not they have rabies and things like that. They're really docile or whatever.
They just don't have rabies.
No, they do not have rabies. Yeah,
they just look like
look like total shit
because they have like pink eyes and weird.
Yeah, and they're like
faces.
Jagged ass teeth. And my mom's like, you can't just assume that. And I'm like, okay, well,
their mouths are incredibly clean. And then she's like,
it's like licking her. She's like, see, no herpes. And so she like feeds them now, and like they get along with my cats.
No.
My mom's got a whole menagerie going on.
Wait, they're wild possums?
They're wild fucking possums that hang out with my mom's cats because my mom has like gotten the cats used to the possums because my mom, she's never touched the possum, but she saw a possum with a litter and she goes, it's a single mother.
Oh.
And the kids, they need water. Because in the summer, it was hot. And in the valley, like, it's dry as shit. So, like, the animals do come out looking for water. So she turned her backyard into the fucking, you know, the neighborhood spot for possums.
Ooh, congrats on her having a backyard.
Yeah, yeah. Look at that.
I mean,
wow.
Look, I didn't mean to flex on y'all, but we're out here.
Just going back to the T.S. Eliot thing, I was so surprised by that because cats is such a piece of culture that is looked down on by like highfalutin like New Yorkers and stuff. And the fact that it was like based on a T.S. Eliot work is like the last thing you would expect.
Right.
So yeah, check out the Wikipedia of Cats is dope.
I'm sorry, just one question. You said your high school was the first high school to do a production of Cats?
Yes.
What is your high school? Is your high school like a special theater school?
I went to two high schools at the same time. So in the morning.
I'm sorry, how is that possible?
Okay. So
so I have a fake ID.
Right. Sounds like a wacky 80s comedy where like then you like run out and like put a backwards hat on and a fake mustache. And you're like,
I would say that's like a fair. That is exactly. We would go to regular high school in the morning, so from like 7:30 to 12:30 we'd take like math and science, and then we'd all jump in a bus, about 20 of us, and we would go to Hartford, which was downtown, whatever.
Shout out to
and,
the whale.
The dirty water. And then we would, from 1 to 4:15, do like whatever. So I was a voice major for 3 years, and then I switched to theater.
Ah, no one. I heard it. You gave us a taste.
That taste of Whitney.
I'm really, really talented at like at like the bad singing, like bad singing that sounds like really good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, but good singing, that is a different challenge.
Hey, we don't.
What
don't
is bad? Can you give us an example of like something people would have heard of that is bad singing that sounds good?
I like to take Gold Link songs and turn them into operettas.
Okay.
So perchance, I want to be more than homies.
That's awesome. What is something that is overrated about yourself?
But it's not supposed to be.
It's not supposed to be about you. But that's what we're doing.
We like this, yo. You're changing the game.
And
I don't like
see,
it.
From your underrated about yourself, we got to an underrated about the world and okay. Cats. Let's do the same thing here.
I want to think of something that is genuinely overrated. Hating Beyonce is overrated. I feel like some people who hate Beyonce,
they think
because
they're cool?
She's overrated, like those people,
they think she's overrated.
Yeah, right. Can go fuck themselves.
Yes. Okay.
They think they're very cool for not liking Beyonce.
Yeah.
I think those are people who just have to be contrarian because, I mean, you can, I mean, I could look at the sun and know that is the sun. Okay. And I could look at Beyonce and know that is a god.
Right.
A goddess. Right. Entity from another dimension.
Only a goddess.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you see the Twitter?
Do all of that.
Did you see
heels.
Someone tweeted about their conversation with their mom was live texting them while watching the Coachella live stream about Beyonce?
No.
And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe, how have I not known about this?
about Beyonce?
No.
This is impossibly a spectacular, this performance. She's in her fourth outfit. Oh my good.
The outfit
Yeah,
changes.
She's like, I thought she was a lot before, but I never had seen it. It was just like this long, these texts are like full-on paragraphs. And I was like, see, that's what happens when
she's the best.
Get shit cooked.
I do feel like this is the point at which everybody has been forced to admit that Beyonce's great. Like that show, for whatever reason, was the point like that even the people who were like, fuck Beyonce, are now like, shit.
Yeah,
I was wrong. Like, yeah. I kind of had a feeling I was wrong before, but now I know that I'm completely wrong. So.
All right, kind of bit off more than I could chew with my Beyonce
criticism. It was 2 hours.
Yeah. All right, and finally, Marlena, what is a myth? What is something people think is true that you know to be false?
I have a very tiny one and then a bigger one.
Okay,
so the
great.
Tiny one is that Nordstrom will take any return. That is false.
Oh, really?
They have, I used to work there,
uh-huh.
And they have like a whole system for not taking returns.
Interesting.
A lot of loopholes,
because before people always thought Nordstrom was the place you would buy something, because if you leave the tag on, they will always take it back, right?
Even then, they'd be like, if you take the tag off, you can bring it back.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, if you take, but at this point, they will kind of no longer do that.
Because everybody's like, taking advantage.
And they really keep track of like the bitches coming in. Returning shit all the time.
Oh, and they start marking you down. They're like, hold on.
They'll send you a letter being like, stop it. You're no longer allowed to come here.
Oh, wow,
really?
Even though their entire brand is you can return whenever you want.
Yeah, I know.
There.
That's crazy.
We should let Lacey know because I know Lacey is a big
She's
proponent of that. She loves the scams.
She does love the scams.
Oh, they'll get you. And Target has a forensics department. They have like labs. Forensic labs.
Like they
like
put
CSI.
The return product under a black light and like see all the, it looks like a Jackson Pollock and they're
you.
What the fuck
Someone
did you do
jerked
here?
Off like, all over this.
Yeah. This was an electric tea kettle. What
just
the
jerked
fuck
off
are you doing?
Everywhere.
We cannot take this. that's crazy. They have a forensic lab. Okay, so that's a small myth.
That's
busted.
A small
they will
myth.
Not take your shit.
Thank you.
Other myth?
Cuba.
Not really there.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba, one, yeah, not really there. But that the people are deprived and therefore super unhappy and suffering.
Right.
Mm. I went and they're fucking so happy. And not like we know we're deprived and we're very happy. They just kind of don't know. And it's really fascinating to see, like, they don't have phones, or they have phones, but not to the extent that we do. They don't have, like, as much entertainment. They just have so much less. And I really thought I was gonna show up and see like sad people, and what I actually saw was like people that were very, very present,
right,
and seemingly content in their lives, and it was really beautiful.
And then does that bum you out too, because you came into it thinking it was gonna be like that? Because that's how I felt. Like,
no.
Okay. Because when I went to Africa, I was like, man, I felt the same thing. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to see, like, blah, blah, blah. And then you realize it's just human nature, right, to make the best of your situation. Not everyone lives comparatively. Like, people aren't in Cuba thinking, man, if I have 4G LTE, man, like, blah, blah, blah. Like,
totally.
You know what I mean? And so to them, there is no other reason but to be happy. And then I was kind of like, damn, like, I felt shitty that I was even, like, projecting my, like, relative comfort and technological access and like and projecting that onto someone, be like, oh, that must be terrible for them. And I was like, yeah, you know what, that's because I'm used to it and I've been coddled by this like advanced technology or whatever. And it's not the basis of my happiness. I guess that's what you learn too, is not what makes you happy.
No, they have to filter their water. Like, they, like, when you visit, you can't drink their water, but also they can't drink their water,
right?
It's not like they're used to it or something. And it's like, they're not even a little bit going to complain about that.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, but still, you know. Oh, a great tip is if you visit, don't stay in the hotels, because that means the money goes to the government and no one knows what happens. Mm. But if you stay in a casa, which is essentially a B&B, that money goes to the community and it helps like help them.
Also, in those hotels, they might hit you with that sonic ray.
Right.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
That's a thing.
I just heard a really interesting interview with somebody who's like been doing a lot of studies on loneliness in like America and Western culture, but America in particular, and how much lonelier our culture is than just like every other culture. Like, now that we have all this technology and stuff, we like, people are reporting, it used to be that you had an average of 4 to 5 close friends. And now modern people report 0 close friends.
What?
They're just like, not really. Like, they,
God damn.
They ask you to define, like,
oh, what a friend, right?
Like, they say, okay, do you like have somebody who you can trust with this? Do you have somebody you can trust with that? And like, by the definition, they're like, oh, you have 0 close friends who you trust. Like, and yeah, there's a really interesting interview on some podcast that I'm drawing a blank on, but basically saying that a lot of our health problems, a lot of our mental health problems are just essentially the fact that we've cut ourselves off from socializing and social networks. So I don't know. We'll talk more about that at a later date, but I'm sure that's at least partially why people in these other countries that don't have 4G connectivity seem happier than you might expect.
Well, yeah, we lose our humanity with the more technology we embrace. So
right.
I think that's just goes hand in hand.
It's crazy how easily they can just talk to other people.
Right.
Right.
In America, people are like, I think I'm going to call the cops on these black guys who are sitting down.
Right.
That's where we're at. I won't even say shit to them. I'm just going to, you know what? I think I want the police to talk to them.
That's right. She just didn't talk to
them. She didn't
even
talk to them.
She just called the cops because they were sitting there.
Because she doesn't know how to talk to people, and we don't know how to talk to each other.
Hey, that brings us to the modern world, the news of the day. We're trying to take a sample of the global / national shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now. So we want to start out with an image that went viral yesterday. Stormy Daniels released the police sketch of the man who threatened her, which I think that was when she told her story about the guy coming up and threatening her on 60 Minutes. She told that story. I think everybody was like, oh, well, tell us who that person was, or like, look through all the pictures in America. Let's find this motherfucker.
Pictures in America.
Yeah, let's find everybody. Let's look through everybody, find them. But so she did a police sketch with somebody who, you know, police sketches are generally not super well trusted, and scientifically they're not great, and sometimes they make your memory of somebody's face less accurate because you're having to like match, you're having to go back and forth between your memory of the thing and then what the drawing looks like, and it sometimes gets blended. Other times, super producer Anna Hosnier was saying that she thinks that sometimes people end up describing someone who is, you know, familiar to them and not necessarily the stranger who they're trying to describe, which is interesting because, so this picture came out. People were saying young Willem Dafoe,
right?
Tom Brady, Starship Troopers star Casper Van Dien.
Oh, love him.
And the puppet from Team America, all blended together. And it really does look like a blend of all those things. And then this morning, TMZ posted an article pointing out that it's actually just her husband.
Yeah.
The drawing is her husband. It looks almost identical to like her third husband.
It's very it's strange. It's crazy how much it looks like her husband. Like,
no.
Yeah. I mean, they may have a point.
Also, what a bummer. That guy sucks.
Yeah. His eyebrows are a mess.
Oh, his face is so aggressively trying to be handsome.
Yeah.
Right.
He looks like a MMA Barbie, or like a like if there was a MMA toy, that's what he would be. Anyway, so yeah, this guy, Brendan Miller, I guess that's her husband.
Yeah,
just like him.
Very strange. This to
maybe
be fair,
it was maybe it was him though.
Yeah, to be fair to sketch artists, and this one in particular, this one seemed like there somebody released some of the drawings this person has done before based on, you know, descriptions, and they're like spot on. So yeah. This is apparently the best sketch artist in America.
The Guinness World Record holder for being the most successful sketch artist.
Right, which, yeah, that's so great. They found the right person to do the job. It just seems weird that they look so much like.
And we'll see if this, you know, ends up leading to the arrest of the person who threatened Stormy Daniels, because she's saying, you know, I got $131,000 for the person who can identify this person, which is funny because $130,000 is what Michael Cohen offered her to STFU. So, you know, she's, you know, kind of taking a shot at him.
Why would she add a whole 999,000 more than, or 100 more? Whoa. Dollars.
Math class.
Whoa.
1,000. Take a seat, art school.
In all fairness, I barely went to math class. Yeah. The mornings were short.
I was rehearsing for Cats. But that brings up Michael Cohen, because yesterday I was reading this thing about how just like how even shadier this dude looks, like when you really sort of look at his neighborhood, where he's from, his family. So everyone knows he's friends with Felix Sater, who's like a lot of people are saying like he might be his connection to Russia or whatever. Because that guy, Felix Sater, his dad was like a capo in an organized crime syndicate that was considered to be one of Russia's largest. And then we find out that his uncle owned a Brooklyn social club, which was a well-known meeting spot for members of both the Italian and Russian mafias. So in like the 70s and 80s. And then they're saying up until the 90s, it was considered, some people in law enforcement were considering it the sort of headquarters where the Russian mafia literally ran their entire crime organization out of. And that's like a place that Michael Cohen's family owns.
It's like he owned Bada Bing, essentially.
Basically, it's called the El Caribe. and so it's just interesting to look at, I guess, the more, you know, I think we're starting to see this pattern. I think we were talking about it yesterday about how this is just sort of like just the doofiest white people mafia ever, of like just really inept criminals. And now we're seeing like that's the world Michael Cohen also grew up in, like where his uncle owned a mob hangout. So of course he's probably gonna have that mindset a little bit.
I mean, if you hear him talk once, it almost like just the mafia is just pouring off of him. Like you just feel like, okay, this guy's out of central casting for mafiosa.
Right.
And so it's not overly surprising. And also the fact that he like threatens to do physical harm to people on a regular basis.
Yeah. I don't think that's part of your law school training.
Right.
I don't know. It feels like it might be.
Right.
Like one of those night class electives.
Right. But I guess like, I don't know if you screaming that you'll fuck someone's soul over the phone is like, I don't know what.
I don't know. That really feels like something they'd teach at like Harvard Law.
Well, he did not go there. I think he went to the Clown School of Law.
Right.
Or whatever the fuck the place
what
is.
What I do to you is going to be disgusting.
Yeah.
But wasn't he like a big personal injury lawyer?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Basically he made an entire, he built himself on having like those commercials.
Yeah.
You in a car accident.
Right. Thanks to Michael Cohen, I got $3 million.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we are having sort of an extended tax day today, which everybody wants to talk about. People love talking about taxes.
Yeah.
So the IRS website crashed yesterday, so they extended it for, I think, today? Just today?
Maybe today, or maybe another day. I don't know. They definitely had to extend it because they're like, hey, sorry, y'all crashed our website because who knows? Of course it crashed on tax day.
But doing your taxes, getting your taxes in is a big, serious deal in America. And Miles, you were pointing out that that's not really the case anywhere else.
Okay. Imagine everyone has done taxes in this room and they're confusing. And most of the time you have to consult a person at H&R Block, an accountant, or use TurboTax. And because the shit is so complicated. And the reason it's so complicated is because tax preparers lobby the government regularly to keep the tax code as confusing as fucking possible. So our only option is to go to these places. Okay?
There's an H&R Block lobby?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Fuck. Well,
big
this.
Tax.
So, there is such a thing as big tax now. So Intuit, who makes TurboTax, they spent $2 million in 2017. On shit like basically they do not want to simplify the tax code, like right. outright, like that's in lobbying documents that is what their stated purpose is for their lobbying efforts. So when you look at other countries like Denmark or Sweden or Spain or Japan, they already have systems in place where the government like sends you a prepared return. They estimate your taxes using information your employer and the bank already have, because obviously they know everything, the tax collecting institutions of these countries. You know, in the UK, most people don't file returns. Like, the government will calculate your liability or your refund and send you a check or a bill, unless you're self-employed. Now, in my other homeland, Japan, very simple system. Okay, so the Japanese version of the IRS, which is the Kokusaicho, they gather all the pertinent data for each worker, their income, taxable benefits, number of personal exemptions, tax withheld, and so on. And they compute how much a taxpayer owes down to the fucking last penny, the last yen. And they have precision withholding, so like they know exactly how to calculate everything. And they'll just send you a postcard just telling you, hey, this is what you made, this is your refund amount, or this is what we're actually gonna have to take out because you underpaid your taxes, and we can just take that out of your account. And yeah. Boom, you're done.
Just That's fucking all. Tell us how much we owe.
Just tell us. Yeah. Just fucking, why do I have to tell you?
Right.
Why am I paying somebody to tell me how much to pay you? The fuck is this?
In addition to the like turbo taxes of the world, I bet it has something to do with the fact that really, really rich people can pay like attorneys and, you know, accountants to find ways to get them to like not pay
of
taxes.
Of course, yeah, because the thing is so fucking complicated.
The more complicated it is,
yeah. Then you need someone, because also, let's be real, tax preparation services are like, they're in an existential crisis because algorithms and shit. Like, the need to go to a human at an H&R Block is becoming, like, that business is shrinking, which is why they had to get into, like, the TurboTax game of offering shit like H&R Block at Home, or I think is whatever their do-it-yourself website service is. So they're, like, up against it, so it behooves them to make shit as complicated as possible. Now, we are trying to change shit. Elizabeth Warren introduced a bill last year that would completely simplify the tax code and make it easier for people to just have Uncle Sam just send you the bill or be like, hey, brother, you're getting this refund.
Right.
And also, it'll cut down on so much eaten up productivity for human beings and save a lot of money in the long run if you do shit like this.
Oof.
But again, when you got people putting money at this thing to make it as complicated as possible, we have this same thing year after year after year. I feel like these stories come out all the time where we're just talking about, why can't our taxes be more simple? Here's why. And like the people who are arguing for keeping it as complicated are saying, well, we don't want to extend the reach of the government. You don't want them doing your taxes. Like, can you really trust the IRS to tell you what they're going to do? Well, all of these programs are voluntary. So even if the thing you got from the government you didn't agree with, you can opt out of it and do it yourself. Or you can be like, oh, okay, that looks cool.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with that. Again, it's just a headache because it's one of those things where most people in other countries are like, what? Y'all have to walk
you
into
do
a
what?
Box full of receipts and right. like panic over what kind of food you can write off as an entertainment expense or whatever. It's just, it's crazy.
You can tell that it's a good idea to simplify the taxes because when the Republicans introduced their tax cuts, they claimed that they were making it so that you could just file your taxes on one side of a postcard.
Right.
So like when they're lying about having a good idea, even though they don't have it, you can tell that that's
right.
probably worth looking into. Obviously, they're not going to do anything with it, but...
I love tax time.
Do you?
Isn't it the funnest?
Oh, it's my favorite.
Oh, because you get... are you do a lot of 1099 work,
well,
so you get to...
I take way less exemptions than I should, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of like a savings account, and I get a return every year.
Nice, yeah, yeah.
And then I buy something dumb.
Oh, what'd you buy this year?
A computer.
Oh, you idiot.
Yeah, dumb.
Fool.
You fool.
Durr. I do the pointing and clicking
yeah.
on it.
Oh, well, hope it's a nice computer.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, Does it a nice computer?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's part of why it was dumb.
Oh.
It's like, you only do two things.
Yeah.
On this.
It's like, you don't need a full-on gaming tower.
Right. I needed the gaming tower.
Yeah. I need the graphics card. How am I going to watch 240p music video clips of New Kids on the Block?
So we talked yesterday about the fact that there is some tension going on in the executive branch. The president and yep. his cabinet are sort of not agreeing on
what?
Sanctions over Russia in the aftermath of the assassination of the former Russian spy. America punished Russia a little more forcefully than the UK and France. And when Trump found out about that, he was very mad. We talked about this yesterday, just an update. So they threw Nikki Haley under the bus. They were like, when she said that we were doing these sanctions, she was confused. So yesterday, Nikki Haley just straight up said in public, I don't get confused.
Woo!
She was just like,
I love
fuck
that
y'all
yeah. so much.
I know, me too.
I don't like her politics sometimes, but I like this shit.
I like that a lot. And Kudlow, the guy who said that she got confused, came out and was like, oh, yeah, sorry, that was a mistake. I'm so sorry.
She would never be confused. I was actually confused. Right. I'm a nobody.
So, I'm an idiot.
That's also such like a loose thing to say about a person. Oh, they were confused. And to just say about yourself, that is not an option yeah. in my
right.
brain.
I never get confused,
that is
never
in
have
the
been.
Fork. I go right or left.
Right. There is no there's no confusion
slowing
here.
Down.
That is not part of my operating system. But yeah, I think it's also the first time I've heard anyone from the administration be like, oh, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Not even when John Kelly's saying like crazy shit like, oh, slavery was the best time in America.
Right.
Like,
because the families were together.
Yeah.
Wait.
Excuse me?
How's that now?
Yeah. He's not like,
mothers
oh.
mothers were there.
Yeah. I shouldn't have. You're right. Like, that's just sort of sounds like a foreign language to me when I hear that.
Also, on this front, there was legislation that we had talked about last week that was supposedly had bipartisan support to protect the Mueller investigation. That has officially been killed, obviously.
Well, yeah, McConnell's like, I'm not going to bring that to the floor. I will not bring that to the floor.
I am drying up. I was all wet, you know. When I hear bipartisan support, I get going. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I'm just like, let's get ready, you know? And then it goes away.
And then it goes away.
It just goes away.
Just the mention of Mitch McConnell. It's just like,
yeah.
I like your sound.
Yeah,
better.
He's he won't do it. But Chuck Grassley, I think, is just like, oh, I don't give a fuck. We're gonna move this thing out of committee,
and he
will still take a vote on it. I mean, sure, but that means fuck all if you're
right.
not gonna.
Mitch
not
McConnell's
gonna get a vote
like,
on the
it's not getting done without me.
But
so you have a theory about where things are gonna go next? How
I have
they're
a theory.
Gonna try and
I have a theory based on watching the news.
Right.
Which news?
I can't
Fox,
say
only Fox.
Only Fox. But let's be real. I only watch the Goebbels Network. So right now, people like Devin Nunes, Bob Goodlatte, and Trey Gowdy, the three horsemen of fuckery, are asking Rod Rosenstein for like unredacted versions of James Comey's contemporaneous memos that he was taking when he was talking to Trump. Because they're like, oh, we're going to have to need to look at that. Like, there's stuff in there that the dossier made of. It's all like, it's all confusion. It makes no
the
sense.
Dossier.
They keep, man, Devin Nunes was on Hannity, just couldn't stop talking about the fucking dossier. And then somehow remembering that he basically needed to create a false conflict with Rod Rosenstein to begin this new attack on him. So what it looks like is they're asking for these notes. The Justice Department is like, you're asking for evidence in an active investigation? Like, that's kind of weird. Like, it's open, so they're sort of like, what do we say here?
Mueller's the only one that can do that.
Well, I mean, like, obviously that's evidence that he is looking at, that Robert Mueller is too. But the Congress is saying, you know, because we have oversight on things like this, we also want to be a party to looking at this evidence. And they're like, that's not really how the law works. But they know that because all they want is to be able to say, we asked Rod Rosenstein to look at these things, and he said no. He's stonewalling us, and this could be contempt of Congress or whatever. And I think it's clearly, again, whenever they can try and drum up some kind of fake-ass conflict, I think that maybe that's where this is headed, because they definitely took the rounds yesterday of talking and be like, well, we're trying to get these notes, and we'll see. These memos, we'll see what happens.
Right.
And Rod
they're setting him up for a conflict. It's like asking him to do an impossible thing.
Exactly.
And then being like, huh? Oh, you won't do that shit?
He was supposed to give them yesterday. Rod Rosenstein had a deadline of yesterday, and he said, I need an extension, because he's trying to figure out. He's like, okay, we got to huddle up. What the fuck are they trying to do asking us for this? So, I mean, it's a small thing that could turn into a big thing, but just keep a lookout if you hear those three dummies trying to be like, oh, he's so uncooperative. I don't know what to do. Maybe he needs to be fired type shit.
I wish Under Oath started when they started working.
Right.
Right.
Just they were always under oath and we could arrest them for being such lying sacks
of shit. I just don't
understand
how lying is just totally above board.
Right.
Right.
What?
Yeah. It's a many-sided complex thing where you have people on the left who try to not lie. And then that doesn't really work for them all the time. And then you have on the right, people love to fucking lie. They don't give a fuck. And I mean, a lot of time they're getting what they want. Yeah, I don't know. It's a.
I wish I just knew. I wish someone was like, oh, like, yeah, you could play by the rules and you'll do okay. Or you could lie.
Right.
Zero repercussion.
Get whatever the fuck you want.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, either way, left or right, it's all lies to me. Everyone is obviously going to push their version of the reality that they want people to believe in. And it's up to us to kind of use our own sound minds to look at it and be like, this seems motivated in a weird way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
On
either side.
Sound minds.
Yeah.
we are of sound mind. Breitbart has been emailing me. I signed up for their email newsletter,
yep.
So that's probably
congrats.
Why.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
he's an
much.
Ally in the fight against the white genocide.
Right, exactly. But I like to keep an eye on what they're doing, what they're telling their fans. And so their latest pursuit, they are asking their fans to write to Congress and tell them that conservative speech is not hate speech. So this thing that we pointed out last week where Ted Cruz was asking Mark Zuckerberg why he was shutting down
Diamond and Silk,
and Mark Zuckerberg for some reason didn't know that they hadn't done that, and that was actually Diamond and Silk misunderstanding a like form email that they had received.
Right.
So this is a thing that they're really trying to push on is the idea that people are conflating conservative speech with hate speech. And I think the reason they're doing that is because they are hate speech.
Yeah, right. I was like, oh, what's he going to say? Because I would just say hate speech.
Yeah, they don't want to be shut down. Like, you need to have your speech policed when you are saying things that are, you know, riling up hate and racism in people. And that has become a mainstream, like a big part of the conservative agenda. So yes, policing people's language for actual like hate and violence and incitement of violence is a thing that needs to happen, but they're not going to.
They're like, it's not hate speech, it's dog whistling.
It is dangerous to them. But,
right.
Yeah.
Wait, so how are they even phrasing it in this email? They're like, we have a war that we have to fight.
Yeah. Tell Congress, : conservative speech is not hate speech. After weeks of dodging answers, they talk about the Zuckerberg thing. And then they say, for years, companies like Google and Facebook have been banning, blocking, and censoring anything that goes against their worldview.
That fucking fallacy is so tired to me when they talk that dumb shit. It's funny how they're only outraged when a person on the right is being told like they shouldn't just spread anti-Semitic bullshit or Islamophobic nonsense. They're like, oh, you're censoring my hate speech. But when fucking swastikas and nooses show up places, man, I don't see that shit on Fox News.
Right.
They're not concerned with hate speech in any form anyway.
Right.
Like, so it's they have this, it's just fucking disingenuous.
Yeah, they're trying to hide the idea that it's actually a problem. So they would never tell you about, you know, swastikas or nooses. And I think this is actually a bigger problem for liberals than people are acknowledging or realizing. In the Comey interview blitz, he acknowledged that the whole reason that he basically tipped the election in Trump's favor was he was concerned of being seen as having a liberal bias by not releasing the fact that they were reopening the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails.
Right.
He was just concerned about being seen as having a liberal bias. And
Comey's fairness goes too far.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, like, he hits fair, and then he's like, let me just show everyone how fair is really done.
Right, right. Exactly.
And Obama, too. He didn't want to say that because he thought it was going to look crazy if he's the one telling people, hey, you might want to look out for this Russia shit or whatever. He was very sensitive that he didn't want to appear that way. And it's just crazy because this is like when facts are facts,
right,
left or right, we just have to accept them.
Yeah. And I understand that the Russia investigation, there was less to actually go out with because it was such a sort of ongoing thing. And a confidential thing that publicizing it could have been problematic, but you know, you don't need to tell the world that you're going to spend the next 3 days looking into whether there might even be a chance that Hillary right. did something wrong, like 6 days before the election. But in his mind, it was like if he didn't do that, he was having a liberal bias. So like right. they're constantly shifting the grounds on which we're having these discussions. And it's also, you know, Facebook is not an inherently conservative platform, but they were incredibly helpful to the conservative cause during the 2016 election.
Right.
Because they were concerned about, there were people hammering them right at the beginning of the 2016 election about having a liberal bias and about right. like wanting to help Hillary and having helped Obama. And I just think that that's something that the left really needs to grapple with, is allowing the right to sort of set the different goal lines on which right. like we have these conversations.
I mean, I think as dismissive as the right is about their own hypocrisy, I think on the left, you just have to be just as dismissive of these like just bullshit claims of being censored or whatever.
Right.
It's like, you're just saying that shit. That is not true. You're saying that to convince yourself that you are not actually saying some dumb, inaccurate, hateful shit or whatever.
And in the past, I think because the left hasn't had a voice, because the New York Times was completely subject to this criticism of, you know, well, now you're being biased. So they couldn't come out. Like, the New York Times has this thing where they have to tell both sides of the story. You know, they're objective right. journalists. So,
yeah, so they do,
you know, the right has
Nazis.
Fox News, and the left didn't really have anything, even though people were saying that the truth has a liberal bias, I guess. But I do think things like Crooked Media and just the podcasting landscape in general is going to be helpful for just constantly resetting. Okay, here's what they're saying has a, you know, is a liberal bias, but it's right. not actually a liberal
bias.
And I
guess the thing is, too, if, as much as they want to say, well, you know, conservative speech isn't hate speech, well, look at the kind of media that people who are acting out hate crimes, where are they getting their rocks off from a media standpoint? What Twitter accounts do they visit? What websites do they visit?
Right.
And, you know, recently, like Ben Shapiro, who's just a fucking loser.
Right. Who's been attacking
Katie.
You get
emails from that guy. Do I get emails from that guy?
You get emails from Ben Shapiro? Nice.
What are you trying to say?
What? I don't know. I don't
I think I get it.
I don't ever open them.
I'm anyway, just yeah.
He's, but like, he's been attacking one of our friends on Twitter, but not attacking her, but just being like, well, look at this, guys, like retweeting her and then just letting his like
yeah, his trolls
rabid
come at them.
Trolls, sexist,
right. So this guy
people.
in Montreal, I think, right? It was in Quebec, like
yeah.
at the beginning of last year, this man shot a bunch of people at a mosque and killed 6 people. And during the trial, they started doing some forensic research on his like sort of activity on the internet. And the weeks
media diet.
Yeah. Before the attack, this guy checked the Twitter feeds of just all the top right-wing American commentators, as well as conspiracy theorists, alt-right, white supremacists, like all of it. Like, he was checking out Ben Shapiro and fucking even Tucker Carlson, Richard Spencer, Ann Coulter, Mike Cernovich, Alex Jones. Like, what's crazy is this happened in Canada, but these people are tuning into our crazy-ass fucking hate talk to get them all pumped up. And again, this is an example of shit that you want to hide behind the description of it being conservative.
Oh, yes.
But it shouldn't even be a discussion of what these people are saying. And they can hide behind the ambiguity of their language all they want to. But it's very clear what kind of agenda they're pushing. And then very easy for them to be like, well, look, I didn't say that explicitly. And that's not fair to paint me with that, because that person had just happened to like what I was saying. But, I mean, at some point, we have to acknowledge the overlap with these kinds of things.
Well, I wish we could have that conversation, but we can't because of the veil of hate speech and calling it conservative. But,
right.
like, when people were coming at, or they still are, but people are coming at Roseanne, right? And they're like, that show shouldn't be allowed to be on the air. But it's the same thing as, like, you subscribing to the Breitbart emails.
Right.
It's like, it's kind of good to get that sensibility. And what they're doing is they're having those debates that we're having at Thanksgiving, they're having them on TV. So, like,
right.
we're all hearing both sides. And, like, I think whoever Roseanne is right now can be problematic on its own, but I do think there's value to getting that point of view on TV
yeah.
in a way that's, like, controlled. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you have, like, liberal ABC, essentially.
Right. right.
Having a leash on all of it.
Well, right. And I think it is valid for people to understand if you have anti-immigrant sensibility in terms of your politics. If you can describe that in a way that is devoid of, well, I don't want rapists and murderers to come into my neighborhood.
Right.
That's different than saying, I'm worried about, like, if you have economic reasons, then sure, you should be able to talk that out. But the fact is, a lot of that xenophobia can be debunked, like, especially the arguments that they have by a lot of studies and data and things like that. So,
right.
Yes, I think it is important because conservatives just used to be like, well, I think we're spending too much money on these right. programs or whatever. And now it's turning into, look at these lazy people on welfare. They should be drug tested, right, before they yeah. can get any kind of benefits. They should blah, blah, blah. And, like, that's where you can tell that there is clearly a tinge of some other – it's not about exactly just
yeah.
saving money. It's about disenfranchising people and pulling out safety nets for certain people because they don't look like you.
Yeah, and there's always been a tinge. Like, Reagan was fucking right. tinged to death. But, yeah, I mean, that shit has become way more mainstream. And, yeah, I think that's a good point. We'll stop treating – conservative speech like hate speech when you take the hatred out of the conservative platform.
Well, I yeah. feel like as a Latina, I'm like well aware of the fact that I'm part of what's about to become like the biggest voting group.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think like conservatives and everyone, honestly, is like terrified of that. Terrified yeah.
oh,
of
for sure.
full on losing the majority. And so, you know, if we make you scared to even show up at the voting booth.
Right.
Then you won't.
Right. And that's why they've done so much to redistrict and gerrymander mm-hmm. and suppress votes, because that's the only way they can fight off something that is a mathematical advantage. And so, yeah, you might as well just double down on being like, well, then maybe we can just get white people to be more aggressively about their own right. identities to get them to vote for us at the poll.
I mean,
because
when
we're not going to win any people of color.
When they sat back and looked at the demographics, they were like, okay, we need to change our platform and just make our focus outreach to the Latin American community and, you know, immigrant community. How do you think that worked in 2016? Do you feel like they did a good job
Here's
reaching out?
Here's the thing about Latinos can be very, we are white. Latinos can be very, very like, you know what? We just came here for the opportunities. We don't want any trouble.
Right,
like, if
right.
you want us to be white, that's fine. We would prefer it in many scenarios. But I think a lot of Latinos actually put ownership on being anti-immigrant and being like they vote against their own interests.
Right. Yeah, I think that's human nature. I think especially for
so,
minorities
like, yeah.
too is to assimilate. And if part of assimilating is like taking on sort of like
exactly.
a political position, then so be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I went to a Trump rally to hang out with my friends back in May of 2016, that was a joke. I was doing a piece where I was trying to understand Trump voters. I saw many Mexican-American people that were from Orange County that were there. And they had the same thing. They were like, well, you know what? My family came here legally, and I don't think it's fair that blah, blah, blah. And that's like, I heard that a lot more than anything. And even many immigrants, not just people from Mexico or Guatemala or anything. There were Asian people that were doing it. There was a group mm-hmm. of Chinese people that were there saying, you know, man, that internalized racism, man.
I think it's just
out.
Fear. I think it's fear of like, I'm so lucky that this country made room for me. But clearly there isn't enough room for all of us. So you guys were just late. Like yeah. you
right.
can't.
Right, right.
Yeah, my grandparents voted for Trump and it's like I tried to understand, but there's literally a language barrier. Like they like don't speak English and it's like even more that makes
wow.
you go, wait, what?
Where are right. they from?
Puerto Rico.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
And how do they feel even with all the shit that went down with the hurricane? Do they feel,
oh,
are they angered by that and the response?
I think my grandma's very like,
I'm not there anymore.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Hmm. Out
yeah.
of sight, out of mind kind
of
thing.
Of like, you know, there's a reason I left.
Wow.
And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that with the Latinos. There's a lot of infighting. There's a lot of self-loathing. But it all comes out like this. Like, I'm just going to vote for Trump so nobody else can come and do what I did. And
right.
And it gets weird.
Or, yeah, if you live in fear of conservative white people, you'll adopt their mannerisms and shit to be like, no, I'm one of the good ones.
Right.
You see?
Right.
So please don't harm me. Because I'm actually falling in line with what you believe.
Mm.
And then they can be like Diamond and Silk, where Ted Cruz will be like, now look at these women of color that you are, blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut the fuck up, bro.
Well,
this
that's
is
why
not
he's
real
pretty
shit.
Good Ted Cruz.
Hey, thank you, my man. I'm working on that.
A lot of us like don't even speak Spanish because our parents were so scared that we would like have accents.
Right.
And couldn't pull off. Being like, I look white.
Right.
And that was cool for them.
Right.
They were like, nope.
They're like, great. She won't have to deal with any real weird racist shit because she could pass for white. Right.
Mm. I have given two full Barbaros to this conversation.
Yeah. Mm. You could pass for white too, Jack.
Oh my God, you have Barbaros jokes too?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, you like Barbaro jokes?
Oh my God, me and my brother will not stop with the... Michael. Mm. It's Michael.
Mm. Miles, it's Michael. always sounds like he's about to weep.
Michael. And by pass for white, you mean...
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we wanted to talk about a couple of women icons. Cardi B has apparently become a pro-life icon.
Yes, Cardi B is a pro-life icon right now. She's never said anything even remotely close about being anti-abortion in any way. However, this is the great part, that basically... I think Ben Shapiro, again, he comes up again. He found a clip of Cardi B on The Breakfast Club talking to Charlamagne about why she's like wanted to have her kid. And because she basically said, she's like, I'm 25 years old. I'm a schmillionaire. Yes, that's a quote. You know what I'm saying? I'm prepared for this. In other words, you know, she was like, I'm looking at my life situation. I can handle a child. And I'm choosing to have my child. You know, then she went on to talk about, she's like, you know, a lot of women were coming up to me saying, oh, I feel sorry for you. Your career is over. And Cardi B says, just like, why can't I have both? Why do I have to choose a career or a baby? And she said, I want my kid now. So a lot of people have been like gathering these quotes to be like, listen to her go up against the feminist idea. This is what Faithwire said in an argument about this. They said, Cardi B, quote, doesn't believe in the feminist idea of not being able to be both pregnant and successful. Yes, right. Mm-hmm. That's what feminism is. Mm-hmm.
She couldn't be more pro-choice in this scenario.
No.
She's spelling out that she thought about it and chose
to have a child.
To have the child, knowing there was another option.
Yes, exactly. Right. She had a choice, it sounds like.
Wait a second.
Nah, I don't know. I might be high. We might just be high. I don't know. Maybe there was a choice. I don't know. But yeah, it's just funny again how... there's such a lack of likable people on that side that they're like, oh, well, Cardi B had a child, so she's a fucking pro-life icon. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
Any woman who doesn't abort the baby is pro-life. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did. True. I did now.
Every mother in the world.
Every mother is pro-life coming at you. So, okay, well, you know, Cardi's having a big week, so she can throw a pro-life icon on her list of achievements.
It is kind of sad, like, for the Ben Shapiros of the world. Who's a small, tiny, tiny man, both in stature and just as a person. But yeah, that they are struggling that much to have people actually making their viewpoints relevant because they are on board with a dying point of view.
It's just funny because they just basically, hey, fellow kids, the whole pro-life thing, like, hey, fellow kids, you know that Cardi B that you like?
Right.
She's a Bodak Bother.
Oh, God.
I don't know. She's anti-babortion. I don't know what the fuck that they're... It's like so fucking whack, dude. Right. Cardi would fuck them up, man. Get the fuck out of her fucking lane.
And obviously Rihanna is pro-choice because she named her album Anti, so...
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes.
There it is. We also just wanted to talk about Barbara Bush, who passed yesterday, who... You know, I guess just based on her appearance, I had always sort of associated her with a kind old lady. And I do remember in 2005, while visiting victims of Hurricane Katrina at the Astrodome, her saying some wildly problematic shit about how, like, because they're underprivileged anyway.
That's a quote.
This is working, quote, very well for them. Which the New York Times, by the way, described as her candor sometimes got her in trouble. That's not candor. That is just being a fucking classist, racist loon. But
that's not the point, right?
I do want to also focus on the fact that, you know, she was also just kind of a hard ass, badass. Like, I assumed that her obituaries would not be the most interesting obituaries to read, and like she was actually crazy interesting, and like there are these quotes from her childhood friends who would say that they would come on the school bus in the morning And they say, quote, it would be all planned. Nobody's going to talk to June this morning. You'd sit there on the bus with your friends and no one spoke to you. It was a dreadful feeling.
So Barbara was coming on the bus and being like, you're not talking to her.
We're not talking to her. You're talking to me.
June is fucking excommunicated. Right. Fuck out of here.
So that's one of her friends.
She this was is, like Real Housewiving.
Right.
Right.
Before.
She was Real Housewives. Right.
In the 30s.
Mean, just like world class, like legendary mean girl. And then another childhood friend is giving a hypothetical scenario, and she said she'd call ahead and say, we're not going to speak to June this morning. So again, they can't.
June, man.
Poor June. You know?
Two different people?
Two different people are talking about how she froze this girl June out when what she was like fuck? A child.
What did June do?
Yeah, and she would also like
June
make...
probably wore pink on a Wednesday.
Right, right.
Yeah, she which wore, we don't do.
She wore white after Labor Day, yeah. So like, June can get the fuck out.
She would make fun of her friends for like stammering or, you know...
oh no, she was today!
Today, Junior! Yeah.
Damn, she's like the originator of all this cool shit.
Yeah.
Original Housewife, really, original Billy Madison.
Right. In reading her obituary, you really get the sense that she was... sort of the brains and the balls behind the operation, like behind
right.
their couple like that. It's just interesting that, you know, there's also a quote in one of the obituaries where someone says, people always said Nancy Reagan would kill you if you said bad stuff about her, says one staff aide who worked closely with the Bushes. But I always thought Mrs. Bush was the one who would kill you, which I don't know.
This is her obituary.
I know. Well, I didn't know that about Nancy Reagan either. I just think it's interesting to like, we should take a look back at first ladies who were, you know, like this, who were just, you know, it was at a time when a lot of like brilliant and really tough women had to sort of sublimate themselves to their husbands' careers.
Right.
And like, I really feel like in a lot of cases, you'll find that it was basically the women like who were calling the shots. Like, because Reagan did not seem like a very tough person, but apparently Nancy was just like not fucking around.
But it's also that thing of like, the husband and the wife could have the same exact behavior.
Right.
And the woman's would be much more received as hostile, whereas
of course.
The man's would be received as like,
tough.
Boy, does he get it.
Right. Like, right.
You know, and so like I always wonder in scenarios where we are talking about it like that, how much of it was that? How much of it was just a woman saying things?
Right.
Yeah, that I mean, she had full right to maybe say.
Yeah, no, I totally, like I'm saying that I fucking respect this. Like, I think it's awesome because people have like genuine affection for her, but also seem to be terrified of her. Like,
I love it.
Yeah, and like when you look at like what their depictions are, or descriptions of her childhood time too, was even like, yo, she basically told everybody she ran shit.
Yeah.
From Jump Street.
Right.
If it was the school bus, she fucking ran. Who even spoke to whom?
Right.
You know what I mean? And then taking shots at, who is it? Geraldine Ferraro. She referred to as, quote, that $4 million, I can't say it, but it rhymes with rich. And then everyone's like, whoa.
So she referred to this person as a $4 million bitch. Just
yeah.
like. That was her nickname for
but
them.
But then she knew the optics that she was like, the description of this write-up of her is like, she was mortified that she had let slip the mask that had concealed the mean streak that had first emerged in her childhood. She
right.
immediately apologized to Ferraro and kept her salty tongue in place for years afterward. So I don't know if the salty tongue thing is apt. Or,
do you remember when Jeb was about to run and or like was running and there was a soundbite of her going like, I don't know, there's got to be another family that should be doing this, right?
Right.
Like, she was essentially like, I don't, it can't just be two families that
right.
are just going to keep going
back
and
forth.
Forth.
Right.
Like
another
and
Bush?
Then she got in trouble. They were like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I bet, yo, those Bush children, the sons of George H.W. Bush, were probably so shook of their mother.
Oh
like,
my
if
God.
That's her description, because
oh,
if
yeah.
you look at Jeb and G.W., they're like, well, like,
right.
as if their mom would be like, this is your finger painting? Are you a
serious?
Fucking dumb fuck?
That's weird. It looks like a fucking toe painting.
Yeah. Throw it in the trash,
you
Jeb.
Idiot.
What a fucking name, huh? I'm sorry, ladies. He's an idiot. And then like,
it was Jeff, but I want you to be embarrassed the rest of your
yeah.
life.
You're Jeb.
Is that short for Jebediah? Oh, apparently, according to super producer Anna Hosnier, Jeb is not short for Jebediah. It is an acronym for his full name, which is
John Ellis Bush Sr. Or because you know why? Because John was probably like Barbara's father, and she's like, he would be disappointed in you. You will be Jeb. Fuck out of here, John. Oh,
I can't even. I don't feel comfortable.
I can hear my father's urn rattling.
So, yeah.
I mean, look, you know, you were clearly the matriarch of a dynastic political family.
Right.
So, you know, shouts to you. You know, it's never nice. You never want to hear about anyone passing away.
Yeah.
But it seemed like she did it on her terms, too, because she, I think, refused to have any more life saving procedures over the weekend, they reported. So,
yeah.
It seemed like.
And just real quick, right before I die, nobody talked to June.
Yeah, right.
No one fucking talked to June. June, I know you showed up. We are
June's
not talking to you.
Just in the corner, like, aw.
Yeah. Like, she's like wiping her head with a washcloth. Yeah. And she's like, who let this bitch in here? June, call the police.
$2 bitch. Yeah.
Marlene, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me, guys. This was super fun.
Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Marlena Rodriguez. I'm on Instagram at Marlena Got a Life. And just Google me. Just get in there. But I run a stand-up show in complete darkness called Dark, and that'll be on May 4th at the Lyric Hyperion. So get in there.
Oh, so the theater's completely dark?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And we blindfold the audience and the comics.
Damn, and then you pickpocket them?
I wish.
When's your show?
But
y'all
I try not to
that?
Be stereotypical.
That's fine.
So.
Well, I'll be there. When is it? Hey, if you're wealthy in the Los Angeles area, please bring cash to the show. It's a cash-only show. There will be merch for sale after. And keep all of your money loosely in your front pocket.
Front pocket?
Yeah, because it's just peeking out, and I can just because if someone's sitting, you know what I mean. You never try to pickpocket somebody sitting down, Jack.
It doesn't feel
you. Well, that's your privilege.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also, yes, I was a very special guest on the newest episode of Culture Kings that came out today. So I joined Jaquise and Edgar, very, very, very lovable guests from the Daily Zeitgeist on their show. And I entered the kingdom of culture. And we talked about whether or not any of us have peed ourselves at concerts. The answer to that is yes, I have. So check that out.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. We are at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. That's going to do it for today. Miles, what are we going to write out?
Okay, so we're, you know, it's weed week, and I'm just doing like a lot of weed-themed outro songs. Mm. This one is by The Internet. We played a track by The Internet before. Shout out to LA's very own The Internet. This song is called Getaway. And, you know, it's just about just taking off to space, you know, with the magical plants. And it's just a great beat. The production is amazing. And, yeah, take care of yourself, guys. Mm.
So you use it for an escape, huh, Miles?
Do I use it for escape?
Your problems?
Yeah, yeah. Typically, if I see like a family walking down the street that just affects me very deeply, I think of my own situation. As you've heard, I think on the 100th episode, we went over that. If you want to hear about that trauma, it's right there. Mm.
All right.
But yeah, weed is tight, though. You know what I'm saying? It's chill, man.
All right. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Now she wanna fuck with me. Live a life of luxury. Models in my mind and trees. Such beautiful company. Fuck a 9 to 5. I'm seeing dollar signs. But I'm still driving around in my old whip. Still living at home. Got issues with my old shit. She blowing up my phone. I talking about some bullshit. Like who's this?
womp. But it comes.